Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we continue our study on God's plan through the ages. Last time we concluded our study with the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, which is where we see the record of God giving Abraham a promise that he would father the Jewish nation. This is known as the Abrahamic covenant, and it's one of four covenants that God has given to the Jewish people. These are unconditional promises that God makes to his chosen people. Also, in today's study, we'll continue to trace through the history of the Jewish people, through their 400 years of bondage in Egypt, which was, by the way, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. As I said, we'll begin our study in Genesis chapter 15.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Go back to chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. God is going to give Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people in essence, four covenants that are key to understanding God's plan in this age and past ages and future ages for the Jewish people, which is a part of his entire plan. We cannot set the Jews aside. We set the Jews aside, we negate the truths of God's word about our salvation. We cannot set the Jews aside. The Abrahamic covenant is the first of the covenants. And notice what he says here in throughout the entire chapter of 15, and I don't have time to go into the blood covenant that was given here. Three animals were split asunder, and then there were birds around, and the Lord is supposed to take the arm, Jesus Christ. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, because there's one member of the Godhead you're not allowed to see. That's God the Father. There's another member you can't see because he's a spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There's only one member of the Godhead you can see, and that's Jesus Christ. And throughout the entire Old Testament, I can show you time after time, almost page after page, the person of Jesus Christ in the pre-incarnate appearance with many of them. El Shaddai. If you've ever heard the name of God, El Shaddai, that's Jesus Christ throughout the entire Old Testament. But he appears unto him, he gives the Abrahamic covenant to him, a blood covenant. Both parties are supposed to walk between the animals that have been split asunder, both of them to say, if I break this covenant, you can split me in two just like these animals. The Lord puts Abraham to sleep. He walks by himself, making it an unconditional covenant. That means the Lord, no matter what Abraham, no matter what the Jews do, has to fulfill this covenant. He gives him a piece of real estate. Verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. This is going to guarantee, the land is going to guarantee they are a nation. You'll notice the name Euphrates River in here. Well, it's extending, and if you're really able to study all 38 chapters of the Bible that deal with the biblical borders of Israel, you would see that the land that God has promised to give them, they have only 10% now, what he's promised to give them in this Abrahamic covenant, confirmed by the land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30, starts at the Nile River in Egypt, extends north through the Sinai Desert, north through Israel, north through all of Lebanon to the Euphrates River, makes a southeastern turn coming down, taking in all of Jordan, all of Syria, three-quarters of Iraq, all of Kuwait, and then three-quarters of Saudi Arabia. That's biblically what God has given the Jewish people. They won't have it to the kingdom period, but this is the promise. It's established in the Abrahamic covenant and the land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30, the land covenant. Though in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to cast you out of the land. I'm going to cast you to the four corners of the earth, because you're going to be disobedient to me. Now, if you were obedient to me, I will make you the chief of all nations. But if you're disobedient, and we know they were disobedient, 70 AD, they were scattered to the four corners of the earth. When General Titus returned, he's the one that scattered them to the four corners of the earth. His father was the Roman emperor at the time, Vespasian. When he returned to Rome, guess what he was welcomed with? The Arch of Titus. His father built an arch by which Titus could march through into the capital city of the Roman Empire. On that Arch of Titus, they have reliefs with the Roman soldiers bringing back the menorah, bringing back the silver trumpet from the temple, bringing back many items. But that Arch of Titus is a tangible evidence. If you've ever been to Rome, you can touch tangible evidence of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God did this, but he then said, two chapters later, I'm going to give you the land. I promise to give you the land. I'm getting your attention. I'm discipling you to understand what I say is what you're going to have to do, and I'm going to discipline you. And so he's made a promise. He has to deal with these people. He not only made the promise to Abraham, go to the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 2. 26th chapter of Genesis 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, and he said, go not down unto Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, your father. He now passes the heritage and the covenant along to Isaac. Go to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. Look here in verse 12. He's speaking now to Jacob, grandson of Abraham. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. This is an eternal promise. It's an eternal fulfilled promise that has to take place, or God is not God. He made the promise. He has to abide by the promise. Deuteronomy 30, again, I told you, is the land covenant. And there are other covenants we'll talk about in just a moment. I want you to know what happens now with the Jewish people. They're established. They're in the land. We know as modern-day Israel. At that time, it was Canaan. And I want to tell you that they're going to be removed out of that land. Just for a moment, back to chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. When God is giving Abraham that Abrahamic covenant, he also says something else, which is, I believe, solid, tangible evidence that what he said about the Abrahamic covenant is going to be fulfilled. Because when we see prophecy fulfilled, that gives us the assurance that indeed prophecy yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled. Look here what he tells him, verse 13, chapter 15. And he said unto Abram, know for a surety, this is an absolute, God is saying, know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. They're going to be out of the land, strangers in the land, for 400 years. He gives the Abrahamic covenant. He promises there'll be a nation, have a land forever. But he says, you're going to go out of this land. You're going to be a stranger in a land for 400 years. Now go to chapter 46 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 46 of the book of Genesis tells us how this all comes about. And I'm not going to fill in all the details on the skeleton of this timeline walking through the Old Testament with the people of God, the Jewish people, the second strand of the human family. This is the second 2,000 years. This is from Abraham to the apostles. Look here in chapter 46 and verse 6. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt. Notice how many went. Verse 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. And all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. Jacob has 70 members of his family. These 70 members of the family are going to be taken by their family leader, Jacob, into the land of Egypt. They're going to have a sojourn there for 400 years, fulfilling the prophecy of Jacob's grandfather. And so now Jacob is going to have greater assurance that what God's word said about there being a nation in a piece of real estate forever was going to indeed happen. The book of Exodus now gives us the return after that 400 years. Go to chapter 12. In chapter 12, God raises up a man named Moses. Moses is going to be a great Jewish prophet, but in addition to that, a great Jewish leader. He didn't want to be that, but the Lord said he is going to make him one. In fact, he had to send him out in the backside of the desert for a number of years before he could actually get him to come in and do what he told him to do. He gives him a time of competing with the Pharaoh's leaders and all of those things, and you know the 10 plagues, etc., etc. But chapter 12 gives us the information about the Exodus. It's been 400 years that they have been out of the land of Israel. God raises up Moses. He puts in place the Passover. The last plague is going to come upon the Jewish people, the Egyptian people, is going to be the death of the firstborn if they don't take the blood of a lamb, a unblemished, perfect lamb, and take that blood, a piece of hyssop, dipping it into a bowl of blood and painting their doorpost so that when the death angel comes, he will pass over. And that's what the Jewish people do. And they're to stand, they're to make unleavened bread. And the purpose for the unleavened bread, which will be the second of the Jewish feast, Passover, then unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, you make it in about 17 minutes. You have no yeast in it. It's a piece of flat bread. And they had been eating sourdough bread up until this time. Unleavened doesn't necessarily mean sin. It means separation. And so what the Lord was doing, you're going to eat unleavened bread for a seven-day period of time. The Passover takes place. You eat unleavened bread with that Passover lamb for a seven-day period of time. I'm separating you from the bondage and eating sourdough bread, giving you a separation. I'll send you out towards the promised land. You'll start then eating sourdough bread again. But for these 7 days, I want you to think about what I'm doing here. I'm separating you. You want to see something very interesting? Have you got chapter 12? Look over here in verse 37. Notice how many people come back into the land. And the children of Israel journeyed in the wilderness, and about 600,000 on foot were men beside the children and the women. 70 people went out with Jacob. 600,000 men come out of the bondage, plus the women and the children. Now, if you have 600,000 men, you probably have maybe 600,000 women. That's 1,000,002. And if you have 600,000 men, 600,000 women, how many kids could you have? I'm saying it's at least 2,000,000. 70. Now a nation comes into existence. 2,000,000 come out. You know how many is going to go into the promised land? 137,000. Well, I'm sorry, it's 136,893 to be exact. 137,000. Everybody else dies off. Why? They didn't believe. Only those who had been born while traveling in the 40 years in the wilderness, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two out of the original that came out, 2,000,000, who go into the promised land because they obeyed God and believed what he said. Everybody else is going to come in that's born in that watering wilderness. You know how many people that would be dying a day and being buried? You can do the number. 69 people a day died in the wilderness, and they had to bury them. And 137,000 come into the promised land. That's Joshua. Joshua's chapters 3 to 6. This is key. You've got to understand God has a plan for the Jewish people.
God does indeed have a plan for the Jewish people. Down through the last 4,000 years, we've seen that plan unfold. In fact, God is not finished with that plan. It's a plan that goes into the future as well. God's plan for the Jews is what Bible prophecy is all about. As we study God's prophetic word, we'll see how it has and will come about. In our next study, we'll continue to trace the Jewish people from Abraham to the apostles and even until today. This entire study is very important for you to understand God's plan for the future. Please join us next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...